It's time for Over There with Marella Rostroffer. Marella is our European correspondent. She joins us weekly. She is over there. Again, this makes my life incredibly easy. So, you know, when we write the book on, when we write the pandemic book, it will be, okay, the good news is I knew where she was most of the time. How you doing?
Not most of the time, all the time. Hello, Jill. Very
no,
well.
No, once you had to do your tires.
Right.
So
there are a few exceptions.
Exactly.
But otherwise, I am basically following the restrictions and the measures. And it seems like it's a very good idea at the moment, since things are going mainly in the wrong direction right now. In that sense, I wanted to speak about the budget that is pending for the European Union countries in terms of COVID-19 fund help. This is quite complicated because while during the summer there was that kind of enthusiasm and joy that they were able to all of them agree on a huge amount of money aimed to help people recover from this pandemic. And now it's facing some issues because of two countries, Hungary and Poland, who have decided to put their veto to this budget. So as a reminder, we are talking about 750 billion euros. It's money that is urgently needed in Europe because, unfortunately, during the summer, basically everybody was hoping that this so-called second wave would not happen, but it is actually happening and even worse than expected, which also means that the money is absolutely necessary to overcome those few months. Why did Hungary and Poland put their veto to this budget? It is due to a clause in the agreement that mentioned the rule of law. And as you know, Hungary and Poland have a little bit of a difficult relationship with the rest of the Union, sorry, regarding the rule of law, because they are basically being criticized and investigated for having some issues concerning independence of the judicial system in both countries, and also some issues with the freedom of speech. Those issues are not directly linked to the European Union budget for the pandemic, but it is mentioned because it is perceived that the money has to be given in a fair and just way. And for the European Union, that also means that the countries have to protect democracy in that sense. Now, from the point of view of Hungary and Poland, this is seen a little bit like some kind of blackmail and interference in their independence. And they basically don't see why that would have anything to do with the COVID-19 relief package. So those are the two positions. And for the moment, the bottom line is that the money is blocked. What is interesting also is that Johannes Hahn, the commissioner of the European Union for Budget and Administration, was trying to make clear that this package is not about ideologies, but it's really about helping people in a terrible moment of crisis. And also, basically, this is a little bit at a level of a theory. Yes, they want this clause on the rule of law, but basically, it is not about that. So Hungary and Poland are making it about that. And it's going to be very interesting to see if the European Union is going to eliminate that clause or maybe slightly modify that clause so that both countries can agree to this relief package, which is, as I said before, going to be increasingly necessary as of already January, most probably. These kind of issues also show something in Europe that is happening and that is really worrying, and it's the level of disagreement, the level of also aggression in how to tackle this crisis. It's sometimes one has a little bit the feeling that nobody really knows how to react properly and what to do, also for politicians, because of this enormous fear of being absolutely criticized and having to deal with real form of bullying, basically. There is, for example, a Swiss economist I was very, very surprised to see this kind of statement, but a Swiss economist who was even going that far in saying that when there are no beds left anymore in emergency rooms, then the people who have been transgressing COVID-19 restrictions or having been making clear that they didn't believe to begin with in the virus should basically get no bed if there is none available. So while, of course, this must have been said in a moment of anger, it also doesn't take into consideration that for a doctor, there is no politics, and that basically a sick patient is a sick patient. But this is another subject entirely. So another example of how much things are changing is, for example, the new decisions of Sweden. And I thought it was interesting to see that while during the summer everybody was talking about Sweden because it was assumed that they were trying this herd immunity and that they were taking another route to the pandemic, etc. Now it's being extremely silent on the fact that Sweden is taking very strong measures, that their numbers are as terrible as all their northern neighboring countries, if not worse. And they are, for example, saying that they don't want to have more than 8 people in public. They strongly recommend that people should have no parties, no dinners, basically should not go to the gym and should possibly cancel everything. Bars and restaurants are closed at 10:30. And no alcohol is sold after 10 p.m. So While Sweden was making the headline during the summer because they seem to take another route, it's being very silent right now about Sweden, same country, who is actually taking measures as strict as all the countries right now in Europe, and maybe even more compared to others. So it is absolutely no doubt that this virus is going to keep us busy until the vaccines, which hopefully will come soon. And I mean, we all understood that it does look good at the moment, but in the meantime, we are having not only a lot of infections, but an enormous increase of casualties, to the point that France is even considering keeping its restaurants closed until the end of January. Is that going to be possible? That's the question, because there will be a lot of resistance. That would mean that the restaurants would not earn money during the most festive times of the year. That would mean that Christmas and New Year parties would basically not take place. Maybe that's the idea. We don't know yet. That was just barely mentioned in the media. But in any case, the point is that because all these efforts are being made now, there is also, unfortunately, a big chance that the leadership of all countries are not ready to go for a third wave due to the festivities around Christmas and New Year. So big question mark there, and we'll see how things develop.
Thank you very much, Mirella Rostroffer. Over there.
My pleasure.